to The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000,
100.3 HD2,
and the ESPN Chicago app.
Ready for the power play?
You're listening to The Hockey Show
on ESPN Chicago.
On ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief, I am Pat Boyle. Blackhawks kick off a three-game in four-night New York excursion. Rangers tonight, Islanders tomorrow, Devils on Tuesday. Basically a recruiting weekend for Patrick Kane.
That's what you want on the heels of an eight-game losing streak.
Yes.
Just go out to New York. Have some fun with the boys. That's a rough slate of games. That's a rough slate for 3 and 4 days. And yeah. Two of those three teams probably in the market for Patrick Kane, and I love because their fans are so annoying on Twitter that the Rangers are not one of them. They've been talking about Patrick Kane for a year.
Yes, they have.
The way that they're going right now, why would he agree to a trade to go play for a team struggling for a wild card spot?
This is true, but that could change a little bit in the next month or so.
It could. They look kind of broken to me. The Rangers look kind of broken. I don't know that inserting Patrick Kane is going to fix what ails them. So we'll see what happens.
Well, we know pairing him with Panarin is almost
that works.
Instant.
Yeah, like they're soulmates, but they don't really have great centers, and you know the young guys that they drafted high, Kratzoff, Kako, Lafreniere. I mean, that's kind of 0-for-3 in top 10 picks because those guys, I would say, one level or another.
Are you already giving up on them? You think they're busts already?
I mean, they've played a lot of NHL games at this point. They're all still young, but if you look at guys who come in as top two, top three picks, Kratzoff, I think, was 9. But the other guy, Lafreniere, was a 1. He was first overall. Kako was second overall. You look at what Jack Hughes is doing, who is taking a pick ahead of him in New Jersey. He's lighting it up. And those guys, I think, maybe combined for like 10 goals. So at some point, you got to just call it what it is. And I think all Ranger fans and Ranger personnel would have expected more from those guys at this point. And if they were the key pieces coming back in a package for Patrick Kane, I'd be like, well, you better gas it up because that's not enough.
No, I agree. I thought they were pretty good in the playoffs last year. I thought they grew, the young players in that series.
In the Pittsburgh series?
Pittsburgh series.
Yeah. But they also had my boy. The goalie, the worst goalie in the league, that he came in, and I bet the Rangers series price instantly when they were down 3-1 because Louis Domingue was going to be the goalie. So I think they did play better, and they didn't look out of place in the rest of that series. But I mean, they all have over 100 NHL games at this point,
right?
Maybe with the exception of Kratzoff, and they're just not doing it. So and that's the thing where it's like it brings us back to our discussion about the Blackhawks. Just because you have a couple of top picks in a row doesn't mean that it's going to work out necessarily.
No, absolutely not. And look, the Rangers, also their success is because they've attracted the Adam Foxes and the Panarins of the world because on paper they look like a team that
on
was
the rise.
Ready to take another step. Do you think Patrick's going to be serenaded at MSG tonight? Do you think we'll get... You know, Patrick Kane.
I bet you we'll get a little bit of that. That'll be tough. I'm just not ready to let go. I know it's like it feels more inevitable than it did even a month ago that he's going to be on his way out of town. But I'm not ready. Like I don't. There's not a team where I look out where it's like, yeah, he'll look good in a Ranger uniform. He'll look good in a Bruins uniform. I just don't. It's like all like I close my eyes. I don't want to vomit. Like I want to vomit at the thought. And cry at the same time. So I hope we'll see what shakes out. But this is not this trip is going to be hard to stomach.
Okay, so if you're already this way in early December, what is going to happen to Chief when we're approaching that trade deadline and the rumors are flowing on a daily basis, and you're in your head trying to picture him in whatever uniform it is that the latest rumor has. Are you going to be all right? Are we going to have to do wellness checks on you?
Or? Yeah, I mean, we have an office therapist at Barstool that helped with White Sox Dave with his White Sox issues, which are many. And I think I might just go and have a little session because I hate change, and this is going to be a big change.
This is going to be a big change. So the Blackhawks in New York on this night to take on the Rangers, they've actually been their chief since Thursday.
The boys are going to have some fun.
The boys had the rookie dinner on Thursday night. I always love to know, like, what the – give me the total on what that was.
I feel like who
just went next level with, you know, did Max just order, you know, every type of
who's
wine?
Who's ringing it up?
Yeah, who's ringing it up?
Yeah. It very interesting to know. I feel like, you know, New York is not exactly short on places to have a nice expensive meal. So I don't know if they end up at Catch or someplace like that where it – I don't know. I've been to the Catch in Vegas one time, and that bill got away from us. And it was just four guys hanging out, and it was like, oh, my goodness. Like, I had to, you know, curtail myself at the tables the next day because of what I did at dinner the night before. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm sure they're having a great time in New York, and that's going to be a five-figure tab for sure.
Absolutely. So the other thing I want to know, because the Ottawa Senators played New York last night, so that means Alex DeBrincat was in town on Thursday.
Yep.
Did Patty Kane, Alex DeBrincat, and let's just say an Artemi Panarin. Did they meet up for a cup of coffee?
Get the boys back together. Get the band.
And start, you know, like, Alex is talking about, do I resign in Ottawa? Things aren't exactly going swimmingly there as we thought it would go.
Yeah, I think this is where we pipe in Paul Bissonnette and Ryan Whitney saying sick league, because that sounds like LeBron and Wade planning things out 6 years in the future.
Isn't that where we're trending? I said to you this past summer that the blockbuster moves that were made, Huberto, Kachuk, it felt NBA-ish this summer for the first time. So, hey, if there's a little collusion, let's give the players some power.
Let's get on. I know they're on Zillow. I just want to start hitting them with Zillow Chicago, because Chicago in the summer, don't forget how great Chicago is in the summer, and just bring DeBrincat back. He hasn't signed anywhere. Bring Kane back. Maybe get an asset for him or two at the deadline, and then all of a sudden things are looking okay.
So the topic came up on Wednesday night when the Blackhawks hosted McJesus and the Edmonton Oilers with the TNT crew, whether or not, you know, with Bissonnette, Rick Tocchet, Anson Carter, where they think Kane will end up being traded. And here's what the boys had to say.
I think it would be such a waste if he didn't end up anywhere, but I guess I can understand. This guy's already won three Stanley Cups. You've already been through all those runs. So maybe at this point, you're just like, hey, I'm gonna chill out, keep my family in Chicago, and then I'll figure out in the offseason which contender I want to go to. And with that cap hit talk, it's nearly impossible to figure out how to move him without giving out assets that is still going to help you win.
Yeah, I think you're right, Biz. I agree with Biz. I think it's too early. I think it's if something's going to happen, obviously his camp's talking to Chicago's camp, the general manager, and they're planning something for 2 months from now. I don't think anything's going to happen here in the next week, but I think those guys want to win again. They've won three. I don't think they want to just ride the season out playing for the Chicago Blackhawks. Great franchise, but obviously not going to win for a long time.
And a lot could change in the next couple of weeks, too, so I'm with you guys, too. I'm going to wait as long as possible to decide what team I'm going to go to and give myself the best chance of winning.
Couple things there. When Biz talks about the cap fit, now, yes, on paper, it's $10.5 million. Mm-hmm. But in reality, when we get into February, that contract has shrunk.
Right.
Two-thirds, three-fourths, what have you. So it could be a $3 million cap hit.
Plus they eat 50%.
Plus they eat $1.5 million. All of a sudden, you're getting rid of somebody on the again.
You could squeeze them.
You could get... You'd find a way to make $1.5 million.
It's prorated and it's a daily number.
Sure.
And it's
impossible at the beginning of the year unless you have somebody on LTIR, but it's not impossible as we get closer to the deadline.
Right. And I think the finding a trade partner that makes sense for Kane is almost going to be more difficult than someone to be able to afford him, because, you know, those same guys plus Whitney on Chicklets were talking about Boston, and it's just like, how does he make sense to Boston? Like, obviously everybody would want him, but like, they don't have anything to give back, so Kane would have to basically force his way there. Boston specifically would have to move out some pieces. So teams are up against the cap. Not everybody has a ton to give away in assets. Boston, you know, only they have their first round pick and one notable prospect. So the amount of teams that make sense that where Kane has to approve, the Hawks have to be able to reach a deal of some kind, and they have to be able to fit him under the cap. I think it's going to be a pretty short list.
It is. I think it's going to for Kane. I think it's going to be Claude Giroux-ish.
Yeah.
Right?
Which they got a nice haul
they
for
got
him.
A good yeah. haul for one dance partner in
right.
Florida, right?
Yeah.
And, but the key is Pat Bresson working quietly mm-hmm. with Kyle Davidson. Because once word on the street is he only wants to go here and you're that destination right. spot, I'm not offering you what Florida offered Philly.
I still
Drew.
Don't know why Florida did. Because, like, everybody kind of knew. And it was almost like Florida's like, well.
But did everybody, I mean, you didn't think there was maybe one other partner?
From what everybody said, it was Giroux made it known that it was Florida or bust. And that was like, so on deadline day, it seemed like, it was like, well, are they going to be able to get something done? And at that time, I had like a source in their organization. They're like, yeah, like we're close. But they were working on a couple other things and trying to make sure they could fit everything. And they ultimately, like, they made the move for Giroux. And I would say that they overpaid. Like, they vastly overpaid.
Well, they overpaid if everyone in the world knew that there was only one landing
totally.
Spot for
yeah.
him. But so, even, that's kind of my yeah. that's my concern from a Blackhawks big picture standpoint.
Right.
That if word gets on the street that he wants to go to the Devils, whatever the case may be, that, you know, the price for him is going to come way down because
yeah.
they know they're only dealing with one suitor.
Yeah. So and Patrick Kane can force that too, and then everybody knows, and it's like, hey, like we'll give you a second round pick and a mid level prospect, and take it or leave it. And then it becomes a thing where it's like, hey, Pat,
out of principle,
I don't know.
I'm not giving him up for it. I guess the second round, I could get DeBrincat in the second. Like,
yeah, that's unlikely. But then it's like, well, if Patrick Kane really wants to go to a place and you want to do right by him,
right?
Then it's like, yeah, I guess you kind of just have to take your medicine and give him what he wants because he's kind of earned that, and then hope to have good relations to the point that you can attract him back in the summer. Like, hey, you had another playoff run. Why don't you just come back here and you know, for a much lower number and
yeah.
see what
Bedard,
happens.
We got Bedard. We got Fantilli. We
yeah.
got whatever.
Now we're signing to DeBrincat.
We're going to pick a center for you.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there are conspiracy theories that DeBrincat still kept his membership at the club he belongs to on the North Shore.
Okay.
There is talk that, you know, Kaner's big picture plans is to he and Amanda Patty Boy to end up here in Chicago down the road. Now, when down the road is,
yeah.
who knows? But
maybe it's June.
that would be great. Chief, yeah. I could see you being a real estate agent and somehow working between Barstool and real estate
yeah.
agent. And if you're not doing Redline Radio, you're taking, you know, player
yeah.
X on a tour of.
Well,
you know,
I think you and I have the same mortgage guy. Maybe we can all get together.
We
we'll have a meeting. We'll have a recruitment pitch. And then we'll bring the number to Davidson. Be like, this is what it is. We got Kane back for you. And this is what we want in exchange for doing that. Because no one wants him here more than me. And I can lend him out for a couple of months, but I have these like kind of flashbacks where remember the Red Sox were going to do that, John
yeah.
Lester, they trade him to Oakland, and then they put the full court press on, and he's just like, you know what, once I left it was not the same, and then he's ultimately signed the Cubs and it worked
right.
out great for us here. But it's like, that's like the fear in the back of my head that once he gets a taste of it somewhere else, it's like, you know what, those Blackhawks franchise records, they don't really matter that much to me.
Yeah, I just think they're I think right now they're even further away from him than he ever imagined because of the team he's with.
Even the line that he's
and
with.
And the line he's
yeah.
with. So let's get into that. By the way, a couple of elite plays by 88 against the Oilers late in that contest.
Yeah.
We got to talk about Seth Jones and how he handled the 2-on-1. And let's also get into what Biz and Witt and Big Cat talked about this past week, the debate whether or not Connor McDavid is the most dominant player in professional sports. It's all coming up next. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000, sponsored by the Chicago Wolves.
You're listening to
the Hockey Show.
We are Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago. You're listening to
the Hockey Show. Call us or tweet your comments to @ESPN1000. The Hockey Show.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Here comes McDavid, puts a move on Johnson. McDavid shoots, he scores! Oh.
And what an outstanding pass from Leon Draisaitl.
Hyman drops the puck ahead. Here's McDavid with Draisaitl and Hyman. Draisaitl fires and scores!
That was the call on TNT as Kenny Albert was behind the mic with the one and only Keith Jones. And Eddie Olczyk will join us in just a little bit here on the Hockey Show.
That warms my heart
on ESPN 1000. With Barstool Chief, I am Pat Boyle. We are sponsored by the Chicago Wolves. And that game on Wednesday night, while it started a little late, plenty of fireworks in the Oilers' 5-4 victory. 8 straight loss for the Hawks. They've dropped 14 of their last 16. Yeah, there's been a couple loser points in there. Before we get to the Hawks side of it, and we'll get into that, my biggest takeaway is that Oilers team has no shot at winning the Stanley Cup as it's currently constituted.
Which is a shame, because their top two are as dominant of a top two as I can remember. They're almost probably better than Malkin and Crosby, which is crazy to say out loud, or even, you know, at least offensively better than Taves and Kane. Like, they're spectacular hockey players, but they haven't been able to surround them with the right, you know, amount of balance, the right goaltending, the right sand, defensemen, and they've been trying. And it's like they've been trying to find the right combination of defensemen for a long time, and I feel like they have one. Like, I like Darnell Nurse. I think I like Darnell Nurse more than most. But they just don't have, and it's hard when you have guys with monster cap hits that you really have to nail the draft. And they haven't. So they've been constantly searching for that right goaltender. I feel like they've cycled through 4 or 5 the last several years, and they just can't do it. So it's, yeah, I think you're on the money. They'll beat somebody in the first round, winning games 6-3, but when it comes to down to a halt, if they have to play a Dallas or a Colorado who can keep up with them, they're going to be in trouble.
Look, the fact that the Blackhawks have scored 5 and 4 goals against them in the last 2 meetings tells you all you really need to know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, exactly. If you're giving up goals to the Hawks, is Colorado going to do today?
That's a problem.
Yeah.
So let's get into that game a little bit. We're talking about Patrick Kane in our first segment. The plays he made in the final couple minutes, that pass that he made to Max Domi after the takeaway from CeCe.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, you can say eyes in the back of the head. The head never looked behind him. I mean, it's absolutely instinctive. I don't know how this guy does it.
It's a galaxy brain. Yeah. He's omniscient. You know, he just knows everything all the time, knows where everybody is, and or at least knows where people should be. And I think maybe that's part of his frustration right now, because he's like, I know where you're supposed to be and you're not there. But in that situation, he knew that, you know, on that, maybe they had something drawn up or where Domi's supposed to go after the draw. And he got that puck and fired it, you know, no look, backhand right on his tape for a tap-in cookie goal. It was pure Patrick Kane, and I loved every second.
And then he follows it up in the final seconds, mm-hmm. below the goal line, defender in his way, and he sauces it perfectly to Radish, and, you know, Radish couldn't elevate over Skinner. But, I mean, that's where during the cup run, somebody would have knocked that in, right?
That Sharpie, somebody hosts, somebody's right. Getting on the end of that. Right. And that's a goal.
Yeah. And we're all talking about the comeback last night.
Yep.
Right?
And that is the thing. That was, you know, the big difference. Like, last night, it was kind of like, it was fun when they were coming back, but it was a surprise. Where in the glory days, it was like, you were never shocked. You were never out of a game. You're down 4-0. Doesn't matter. They're going to come back and win. Like, that's just always how it felt. And you got, like, so I feel like you have these little memories of flashes of things happening this year. And that's why I got to hold on to Kaner. Yeah. Because it's like, I want some of that. And he was, I'll never get tired of watching that guy. Never get tired of it. And he was spectacular.
Although, you've watched him so much over the 16 seasons. Tell me if you're like myself, where I'm not going to get, you know, David Haub body language, you know, mm-hmm. Jay Cutler, all that stuff thing. But I can tell when he's completely engaged in a game.
Yep.
And he's got a little jump in that first step or two, and when he's frustrated. Yeah. And I've seen more of Patrick frustrated in recent weeks because, quite frankly, the numbers and the production, he can tolerate the losing and whatnot, but he has fun playing the game, but he has fun producing in the game.
Well, and I think those two things are always linked for him.
Right.
You know, like, and it's you want guys, and that was why it was so special to watch him with Panarin, to watch him with Stroman, to Brinkett, because it's very rare that you find wingers and a center, really almost never as a center for Kane, that a guy who thinks the game the way that he does, or at least close, because like we just said, he's a galaxy brain. Like, he knows everything. He knows, he's a nerd for the game, knows the game better than anybody. And when you just have, and it's nothing against Anthony C or Domi, those guys play a certain way. They play 100 miles an hour, and Anthony Seau, and it's almost like maybe it's a product of his being such an explosive skater that he never developed anything else. Because his thing is, I'm going to take it wide and take it to the net, and if that doesn't work out, well, hopefully we get a goal on the rebound chaos. But he's not going to be a guy to slow it down to the blue line, make plays, fill lanes. And that's what Kaner is. Like, he wants to hit that seam pass, and it seems like those guys just aren't really recognizing that. So
I think you're spot on with the Anthony Seau discussion as far as how he fits. And I think that's probably why teams, you know, give up on players.
And that's why he's been on a lot of teams.
Yeah. You know, it's like, because they find out what you're finding out here.
Yeah.
He has speed for days, mm-hmm. and you can't teach that, but the finish isn't there.
Right.
And it's a lot of one and done. And Patrick plays a completely different game. And how are you going to get him his touches when you're turning the puck over almost every time he entered the zone?
Anthony Seau has a little bit of like Frolik to him, and you never saw Frolik playing with Kane.
No.
And it's for that reason. So like, I think Anthony Seau is a very nice player. Somebody at the deadline, if they're looking for bottom six depth scoring, they want to have, you know, a little bit more skill, a little bit more forecheck speed. He's going to be a great piece to slide in on your third or fourth line. But if he's in your top six, you're probably not very good, and the Hawks aren't.
3-2 on ones for Edmonton on Wednesday night, produced three goals. Seth Jones defending on the 2-on-1s, you know, for being a number one D, for getting paid $9.5 million a year, he needs to be better on that. And like, you look at the Yanmark goal, Ryan Nugent Hopkins is a lefty shot coming down the left side, and Yanmark is on the right side, mm-hmm. sitting on his one timer. You got to overplay the more dangerous player on the ice, and that was Yanmark.
Have to be able to know who's on the ice, read the situation, take plays away. And, you know, this has been me beating a dead horse forever. His greatest weakness is that transition defense. And it doesn't matter if he's, you know, it doesn't even have to be an odd man situation. He's just not a very explosive backward skater for whatever reason. I can't seem to figure that out, because it's not like he's not explosive going the other way.
Right,
he's a strong skater, but I think he relies too much on his reach, and his feet kind of freeze up on him, and he gets caught reaching, caught looking, and for a guy who's been in the league a long time and has been in, you know, tough situations, you would expect him to have maybe made some adjustments and learned that by now. But it's still going to be a work in progress. But I do, you know, I love Seth Jones, but it's tough to watch that.
The other thing, and we've talked about it, but unless you have the truth serum and deliver it to Seth, look, he was on Nashville when he got into this league, went to Columbus, you know, they had some sniffs here and there of some success.
Second round one time.
But, you know, I think he came to an Original Six franchise, A, because he was going to get a large paycheck, but B, I think he wanted to win. And he believed the direction that the team was going and the moves that were made that summer.
Yep.
Well, obviously, they've done an about face.
They rugged him.
And they absolutely needed to.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he's still not like, what the hell did I get myself into? So, like, where do you think his head's at when he's like, I'm a dash three, I'm like, you know, I'm better than this, but like, I'm out there logging 26 minutes, mm-hmm. playing with a broken thumb, you know, paired with a guy who was playing 7 minutes for the for Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, like, nothing against Jack Johnson, he's been really solid.
He's a pro.
And a pleasant surprise.
Yep, he's a pro.
But it's not exactly what Seth signed up for.
Not at all. And you know, it is just one of those things where it's like, you have to recognize what your role is and change it. And that was one of my, I would say, maybe, I don't know if it's a criticism of him or the coaching staff, but like, he was all over the place last year, running around, not very efficient in his movement. And some of that is system, some of that is him. And I think it's, someone needs to just kind of sit him down and be like, we have to just simplify your game and kind of like build it back. And because when he's really going, he's an impact player. But coming back from the thumb injury, it's taken him a while to be the Seth Jones that we know, other than the goal he had his first game back. But it's just those 26 minutes, while great that you're logging them, they have to be a higher quality 26 minutes if you're going to be making 9.5.
I'll tell you what, one bright spot on Wednesday against the Oilers was Arvid Soderblom. I thought he was strong. Now, look, they hit 5 or 6 posts. Mm-hmm. So the puck luck was certainly on their side. Like, Hyman could have had a hat trick in the first period.
Totally.
I was like, I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Yep.
As far as the high danger chances.
McDavid had a post, too.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you getting to see a little bit of Soderblom thinking, like, there might be something here? Or are you still like, you know?
Yeah, there's a foundation, at least, you know, and we've said on this program before that I'm not the best at evaluating goalies, but he's definitely explosive in the crease. Like, he moves well, especially for a big guy. I think he's proven himself that he can be an NHL goalie. I don't know if he's going to be good enough to be a number one on a team with, you know, genuine playoff cup aspirations, but you know, you could do a lot worse than they have.
Yeah.
Like, they've had worse goalies. So I think he's been fine, maybe a little bit better than I expected, if I'm being totally honest, but not sold on the future of Arvid Soderblom either.
All right, so we got to see McJesus for the second time this year. He never disappoints. Edzo chronicled the crazy schedule that the Oilers were going through. They did the three New York teams last week. Flew home Monday to play Florida, back on a buggy Tuesday to Chicago, in Minnesota Thursday night after playing. I mean, like, that's not easy. Like,
no.
they were saying, when they get on a flight, I think Darnell Nurse said, like, it's never less than 3 hours.
I mean, you got to play somewhere else.
Yeah,
you want to come here?
Yeah, that's your calling card,
I think that's
right?
Life in the Pacific Division. So everything's a four-hour flight. But, yeah, I mean, it's that team. You know, watching him, he is one of those people, and I've had, not this year, but in previous years, I've seen him in person. And when you see him in person, you get an even greater appreciation of the speed, because he flies. If you blink, he's gone. Like, literally, he'll cross your face if you're not paying attention. And it's I've never seen a skater like him. And the moves he makes at full speed, and the acceleration with the crossovers, he's spectacular.
Yeah, and it was on display with the goal. I mean, Draisaitl makes a nice pass to him, and he picks it up from, what, 160 feet out?
Yep.
Gets that head of steam going, crossover. Jack Johnson had no
who would?
He does that to everybody.
Who would? Who can stop?
I think he did it to McCabe a couple, you know, back in October.
I think Victor Hedman's probably the best guy one on one, especially in transition. I would not bet on Victor Hedman against him.
Right.
Like, it's just McDavid. It's McDavid's league. It's his league, and no one can really stop him once he gets going. And it's honestly, it's so fun to watch. And I feel bad for him. We talked about like the flaws in Edmonton, but when you look at his playoff numbers, they're off the charts.
Yeah.
And it's like, how does McDavid get 12 points in 7 games or whatever he had last year against Colorado, and they're not, and then you just look at it and like, they're just not there.
And look, I don't count the bubble as that you know, the play-in series the Hawks were in, but even that, the Oilers had no business losing to the Blackhawks. They're playing at home. In essence.
Yeah, no fans, but at
no
home.
Fans, but like, you know, much better talent.
Totally.
And, you know, they didn't get out of that.
Well, they had series. Mike Smith, and we had Crawford, and Crawford played great, and especially as the series went along. And it was McDavid still got his. He still got his, but it's just never going to be enough with the surrounding talent there.
So Biz, Witt, and Big Cat were talking on Chicklets this week about, you know, who's the most dominant player in pro sports.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're hockey guys, so, you know, we lean a certain way. But is there anybody, like Patrick Mahomes is certainly in the discussion.
Yeah.
I guess you could say Giannis, or...
I would, believe it or not, I think I would tend to go with the basketball guys, just because even McDavid, what's he play, 22 minutes a night?
Right.
So he plays a little over a third of the game. And if you're a basketball player, you're probably playing 40 out of 48, and you're going to touch the ball every single possession. And you really can, one guy, like LeBron took that Cavs team to the finals, you know, a couple of times where they lost to San Antonio, where it's just like, they had no business. Like, he was their only guy, but he was so dominant. And you just can't really get that in hockey. It is much more of a team game. So pure dominance, I'd probably lean with Giannis or LeBron or like a big basketball guy.
Coming up, the one and only Eddie Olczyk joins The Hockey Show. It's The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show. Hockey Show
with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief
on the ESPN Chicago Triple Play, AM, FM, and app.
The Hockey Show, Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app from anywhere.
The Hockey Show. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
On ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief, I am Pat Boyle. It's our pleasure to bring in Blackhawk great. You hear him on TNT, did the Blackhawks and Oilers game on Wednesday night. The one and only Eddie Olczyk. How you doing today, Edzo?
Hey, PB Chief, nice to be with you guys. Thanks for having me. And, yeah, it was great to be back home. An exciting game the last, seven, 8 minutes of that game on Wednesday between the Hawks and Oilers, but always great to be back in the United Center, and I appreciate you guys having me on today.
And that was the second time you had been on the West Side in a couple of weeks, because you were there for the Marian Hossa jersey retirement. What was it like to be a part of that special evening with 81?
Yeah, well, look, it was great, PB, to be back at the United Center, and so thankful and appreciative for the Hawks having me back and the organization, and obviously with Marian, calling me a couple of months ago with his agent, Rich Winter, and asking me if I would, be the MC for the night, and just thrilled and humbled and honored that he would think of me that way, and I'm glad we were able to pull it off schedule-wise, and when you're down in that setting, right at center ice at the United Center, you have your role and you got your scripts and you know what the plan is supposed to be. And obviously the Blackhawks did an amazing job, as they always have with events like that. You don't know how it's being broadcast or portrayed, what it looks like. So there's always that, it felt like it went great. Obviously, the crowd was incredible, and the excitement and energy level in United Center was off the charts. But, just how it looked going out, and then when you get a chance to watch it back, as I did a couple of days later, at the end of the day, most importantly, for Marian and his family, and obviously the Blackhawks and the great fans, I think it went off without a hitch. It was pretty special, but to be a part of it was just very humbling, and to see a lot of familiar faces, and it brought back a lot of great memories, obviously, with that incredible run that those guys went on, and retiring a hockey legend, not only a Blackhawk legend, but a hockey legend, Marian Hossa, at number 81, sitting in the rafters at the United Center, and I got a feeling that he's going to get some company up there sooner than later with some of the guys that were on the ice, that night honoring Hall. So, yeah, it was a great night, PP.
Yeah, and I can tell you how you looked. You looked like $1 million, and it was great to have you back. I've always described you, kind of since you left, as like I felt like Chicago, we lost our hockey dad, and it was great to have Chicago's hockey dad back in the building, because – I miss you. I feel like, it's now you're like that absentee dad, where it's like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know who's telling me what. Who am I getting advice from? But how have you been able to, because it felt so natural here, like, because you're one of us. Have you been able to kind of develop that rapport and build that in Seattle? And what's the relationship like with the fans out there versus what you have here?
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, Chief. I said this when everything kind of came to fruition over the course of the summer, the end of the summer. And, I miss home every day. I miss doing what I did for the Blackhawks for so many years. And I always thought that I would be there, but look, it's in life, things happen, and business is what it is. And, decided to go in a different direction. But, I think, coming to Seattle and obviously having some skin in the game and blood in the game, so to speak, with my brother being VP and assistant general manager here with the team, and my oldest son, Eddie, an amateur scout here for the last, 3 years, I believe. And, and my son, Nick, coming here before I came here. And I think, you're trying to develop that chemistry and you know, in the fan base and understanding kind of how I call games and knowing that we're in a very new market here, with only being in the NHL for, you know, I guess just going over 100 career games in the so-called history of the Seattle Kraken. But it's been it's obviously challenging, but working with a lot of talented people and working with Johnny Forslund in the past and doing, you know, a boatload of games with him nationally was just very easy and you know, could do the games, you know, blindfolded just because I know his call and his demeanor. And then working with a kid like JT Brown, who I knew, you know, when he was 17, 18, trying to make his way into college hockey and then eventually into the National Hockey League. And he actually played with my oldest son, Eddie, in the USHL in Waterloo. So, I mean, there's been a relationship there. So, you know, I think the chemistry has been pretty fast, Chief. But I think to the fan base and the understanding and just, again, just trying to, you know, just kind of be one of the voices here. And, you know, I'm on the docket for, you know, 45-ish regular season games and, you know, with my TNT schedule. So it's worked out extremely well. You know, it's been fun. It's been a little bit of a grind, obviously, with coming from Chicago, because Chicago will always be home. But, you know, I do miss it. I mean, I do miss being at home and you know, being in my old chair, so to speak, the other night in that game on TNT. We had the Blackhawk broadcast booth for the game nationally between Edmonton and the Hawks. And I can't, you know, truth be told and total transparency, I mean, the chair felt very comfortable, you know, sitting back in that chair and that positioning in the booth, which I sat in, and very proud to have sat next to Pat Foley and Danny Kelly, obviously, for the first couple of years, for, you know, the last, 14 years, whatever it was. But it was, you know, just, you know, a lot of fun being back there and just trying to, you know, earn my stripes here in Seattle. And the team's pretty entertaining here, so it's been fun. And the team is in a nice playoff position. I know we're only 20 games in, but it's, you know, a lot to learn and just getting to know the lay of the land. And so it's been fun. It's been challenging, but I'm looking forward to continuing to, you know, kind of know the fan base here a little bit better and continue to do what I do and teach the game and entertain, because at the end of the day, that's the job that we hold.
Chicago's own Eddie Olczyk joins us on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. All right, we talked about, you know, obviously the change that you've gone through. There's a couple of Blackhawk players that are, I'm certainly thinking about what their next move might be, and I think it's appropriate that, you know, Patrick and Jonathan are, you know, in New York this weekend. Patrick will play at Madison Square Garden tonight, where you, of course, had the opportunity to play, win a Stanley Cup with the Rangers. What do you think is going through his mind here as we get closer to that March trade deadline, knowing the competitor that he has, and you know, you've known him for over 16 years, and now that the production isn't where Patrick's used to seeing it, you know, what types of things do you think he's weighing in his mind about possibly leaving the Blackhawks and going to another NHL home?
Well, the emotion is probably off the charts for Kaner and for Johnny, right? Like, it there's no doubt about it. Of, you know, approaching and getting into the, you know, the last months of their, you know, their contracts with the team. But again, I mean, these guys hold the cards. I mean, they have the, you know, no movement clauses and really nothing. Kyle can't do anything until, you know, these guys give the green light or the thumbs up, however you want to describe it, and try to figure out a plan of whether or not they want to ride it out and get to free agency and then see, you know, what goes from there. Or they decide to say, look, this is, you know, I'm thinking here, you know, A, B, and C. And again, with the salary cap makes it even more challenging. I mean, that to me is the, you know, that's the, you know, the most important part of this is that, yeah, they could say, you know, look at, you know, I want to go here, I want to go there. But, you know, do those teams or team have the flexibility and the wherewithal and to be able to, you know, go ahead and do that. Now, look at just because any player, let alone, you know, 88 and 19 would waive their no movement clause. I mean, the Hawks don't have to, you know, they don't have to do anything. And so that there's just a lot of moving parts here, but it's got to be, well, I know it's very emotional in conversations that I've had with both guys over the course of, you know, the last, you know, 6 months or so, but it'll be really, you know, it'll be really interesting. I mean, look, I think any hockey person that I talk to, and again, you know, obviously the ties to the team and the city of, you know, over the, you know, my lifetime, everybody wants, you know, what do you think, you know, where do you think he goes? Where do you think he wants to go? Where do you think that, you know, so, I mean, I couldn't tell you. I mean, you hear the rumors, you hear the speculation, but, you know, who wouldn't want, obviously, 88, right? Now, like Johnny, I mean, you know, he's, you know, he had a really good spurt there for, you know, for a handful of weeks. He's been unbelievable in a faceoff dot. You know, when he brings experience-wise, he kills some penalties, but, you know, these guys hold the card, so to speak, and we'll see how it all plays out. But I think the word that comes to me, PB and Chief, is, you know, very emotional, because when you think about it, of, you know, the long run, the incredible run, and now, you know, the so-called sand in the hourglass is dwindling, and they hold the keys to it. And look, I believe that their legacy is already cemented.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. So whatever happens moving forward, we know the team has come out and, you know, being a small part of, you know, the GM search, you know, last year, you know, for the team and kind of knowing a little bit of, you know, what's going on and what the mindset is, and Kyle getting the job and coming out and just say, look at, you know, like this is, you know, we're in a retool here. We're rebuilding and it's going to get rough for a little while, but, you know, this is what we're going to do. So, you know, the players know that, and now it's just a matter of trying to figure it out, put all the pieces together, and if they want to go, then the team has to decide if it's good for them. And if it isn't, then obviously if they don't go anywhere, then obviously they become, you know, unrestricted free agents and then see how it plays out. But that is the big, there is no doubt. There is no doubt in my mind, and just letting everybody know they're back home. I mean, that is, and I think I said that opening night on TNT when I did the game between the Hawks and the Avalanche, is that, like, it's, I mean, Patrick Kane, first and foremost, like, that is the big story in the National Hockey League, is what ends up happening with Patrick Kane over the course of the season and at the trade deadline. And we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I'm glad you and your family are happy and adjusted to life in Seattle. But if they ask you again what it's like leaving, can you just tell them you're miserable? Just, it's the worst. You have to hire movers. Like, no one likes moving. So just tell them how terrible moving is and how great Chicago is, and maybe they'll resign.
Well, the fact of the matter is that we all know how great Chicago is and the organization. And, you know, look at, these guys have had a hell of a run. And, you know, but again, they hold the keys to the camper, and they can, like I said, they can decide some things, but at the end of the day is, you know, whether or not the, you know, the organization will oblige what they want to do, and then and see what happens from here. But look at, like, I don't know how you guys feel, but, you know, they have done everything in their will and really turned this, helped turn this franchise around, you know, with the run that they went on and what they've done and how, you know, a part of the fabric they've become of the community and will always be with it, regardless. Again, this is just one former Blackhawk talking here and a longtime hockey guy. Like, these guys will always be Blackhawks, like, at the end of the day. It really will. And, yeah, you know, look at, you know, would they have loved to have gone on a run here, or, you know, maybe the rebuild came, you know, 3 or 4 years earlier than it is now, or, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years down the road. But, you know, for these guys, yeah, would they have loved to take a run and gotten into the second or third round of the playoffs when they knew their, you know, their contracts were expiring? Yeah, but, you know, life isn't, you know, it isn't perfect. But we all know how great, obviously, Chicago is, Chief, and the Blackhawks. And we'll see how the cards are dealt and how they're played.
Edzo, you'll be calling a game tonight in Seattle against the Panthers. We'll be keeping an eye on Blackhawks and Rangers from MSG. I think everybody in the hockey world will also be taking a look at what's going to happen in Tampa on this night as Mitch Marner tries to set a record. Right now, he's currently tied with an 18-game point streak with the great Daryl Sittler and the one and only Eddie Olczyk. Have you called John Cooper and put a little money on the board for a Vasilevsky shutout?
Have I? No. Did I think about it? Yes. it's been fun. I mean, for as long as Maple Leafs, Toronto Maple Leafs have been around, and to have shared that record with Daryl Sittler for the last 33 years has been very honored and very humble. Daryl, obviously, when you think of Daryl Sittler, you think of the Maple Leafs, and it's been unbelievable. But to see Mitch Marner here over the course the last 10 days or so, you know, continuing to go up and getting, 15, 16, and then, getting the empty net goal on Wednesday night and then tying both Daryl and I and sitting at number 18. So it's been really fun. I mean, it's been nice to reminisce. And I think for me, selfishly, it's been like, I just tell my kids and some other, close friends, it's like, I just haven't always been a broadcaster or a guy that's done video games. I did play back in the day, and
you
I
haven't always been a hockey dad
for a couple of weeks. And so, yeah, it's been fun to watch. And records are meant to be broken. And I'm proud of that record, and always will be. And I hope Mitch Marner gets the 19, because when you really think about it, when you just think about the Maple Leafs and hockey. I would put him up there, obviously, with the Hawks and the Montreal Canadiens. When you do talk about baseball, you always think about the Yankees, right? And I think that when you can have a record like that or share it or however you want to describe it, it means a lot. But I know selfishly for me, it's been nice to go down memory lane. And then just real quick, when my streak stopped, or the New York Islanders stopped it, and it stopped at 18, I was reminded the other day is that right after that, I went on another 6-game heater, and then the 2 games following where the streak stopped, I had a 4-point game against Calgary, and I had a 3-point game against St. Louis, and I sit back and go, how in the hell did I not just get 1 point in that Islanders game? Yeah. And then just, go on a run. But, it brings back a lot of memories, and it's been a lot of fun, and maybe it's the number. I wore 16 in Toronto, so maybe it's the 16 with Mitch Marner. So maybe he turns that 6 and flips it upside down and gets the 9, and he gets the 19 and he holds the record. So I'm wishing him well, but it's nice to be on that same line with both those guys.
Well, we appreciate your time. We love you here in Chicago. You'll always be Chicago's hockey dad, and we look forward to talking to you down the road.
Right back at you guys. All the best. And, hey, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to everybody, and I'll look forward to being back in the United Center, and I think it's in the first couple of weeks of January. I think the Kraken are town, so I'll get another home game at the UC. So thanks for having me, guys, and all the best.
That's Eddie Olczyk joining us on the Hockey Show at ESPN 1000. We're back to wrap things up after this.
You're listening to the Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000,
100.3 HD2,
and the ESPN Chicago app.